a modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
And welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name is Mike Royer.
And on today's show, we talk about Marvel movie magic, Deadpool's bear excitement, Wolverine's last time, Lex Luthor's bald head, rub it for good luck, and more.
Woo!
Yes, yes, sir. We have a big show today.
Yes, it's pretty packed.
This is one of the few shows where I actually started making notes pretty much as soon as the last show was posted.
Yeah, I mean, I checked in midweek to see what was going on, and I was like, oh god, you already have like two pages.
Yeah, it has been big, and we're gonna roll with it.
Yeah, let's just get right into it. That's right. What people came for. That's came for the news.
That's right, in our sexy voices.
Mm-hmm.
So, first off, Marvel. Infinity War is coming.
Yes,
and
this is true.
And right now, they have tapped the Russo brothers to direct it.
So, now, is this just, like, official? Because I feel like I saw this quite a while ago. And I feel like people have already reported on this, so I'm trying to figure out, like, was that just a big, very strong rumor, or what was the deal earlier?
Well, you may have heard of the Sony leak, the Sony hack. That was in those emails.
Okay.
But nothing was ever confirmed until this week.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of we knew, but, you know, things changed. Like, they didn't have Spider-Man back then either. Like, tons of things could have changed. So... now we have a fact that's true.
Yeah, okay, cool. So we finally got the Russo brothers in there. You know, I think we're all pretty excited about this. I've kind of heard I don't know if it's a rumor or exactly where I heard it, you know, but I heard, like, you know, Joss Whedon said that he was actually having a little bit of trouble wrangling all these characters in Age of Ultron. You know, he said there's just lots of, like, you know, moving pieces, you know, that he has to keep track of. And, you know, he did a really good job in the Avengers, the first one. So maybe he just wasn't super excited about doing the Infinity Wars, or, you know, I've heard him talk at Comic-Con before, and it sounds like that he doesn't like to get tied down too much with the same project for very long. He kind of likes to do different things, and, you know, he's super, super popular right now, so he could literally do whatever he wanted. So I'm fine with the Russo brothers coming in. I mean, maybe they can come with, like, a divide and conquer perspective, since there's two of them.
Yeah, and for people who are unfamiliar with the Russo brothers, they did the Winter Soldier, and they're very well known for doing the paintball episodes of Community.
Oh yeah, those are good.
And you know, like, you know, you can't really, like, this is what I love about Marvel. They took these directors of Community and gave them a Marvel, serious Marvel project, and they cranked out one of the hottest Marvel films of 2014.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Winter Soldier is arguably the best Marvel movie made so far, and I think arguable is the best way to put it. You know, some people would probably say Iron Man 1. You know, some people might stick with the Avengers, but I think Winter Soldier, you could easily fight it out, movie fight style, for that being the top position for sure.
Yeah.
So
definitely, you know, crank the Russo brothers to a whole new level as well.
Because
they had the Sony first look deal they just announced. So they could definitely, you know, be taking these new Sony projects if they wanted to. But to sign on to do Infinity War, something so big, so ambitious. They got to have an idea, and they have to have faith in themselves that they can do it without ruining it. And I think, you know, they start directing Civil War next month. That's almost pretty much an Infinity War style cast at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they're just going to be so busy over these next couple of years. I mean, maybe the studio just kind of looks at it as a good deal. I mean, all of these Marvel movies are very tied in together. You know, they're probably having these, like, closed secret meetings where they're just talking about, you know, this whole continuous story of Phase 3. And I bet the Russo brothers are having a really strong hand in crafting it. So I'm totally fine with it. Winter Soldier was great, and I can see that the writers that are signed on for it look pretty cool, too.
Yeah, definitely. And this speaks to the fact, you know, the Russo brothers, they did Winter Soldier, they're doing Civil War, and they're going to do Infinity War. The writers, Christopher Markus and Stephen Frealey, you may know them. They did the first Avenger, The Dark World, Winter Soldier, and Agent Carter. They have their fingers in the beginning of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, on a timeline scale, and the current Marvel Universe up to, you know, Civil War, probably. And I'm just – this could not be a better team up of people who have directed – the Marvel movies and written the Marvel movies.
Yeah, I think we pretty much have a slam dunk right here. I mean, it's kind of getting to the point when you start to see the talent being brought in. You know, obviously there's, you know, you kind of have to knock on wood, you know, while you kind of say this stuff. But I feel like there's no way that it's going to fail. No matter what, it's going to make tons of money. And I feel like no matter what, it's at least at the very minimum going to be good. I mean, I don't think it can be bad. So I think we have nothing but to look forward to this stuff. So I'm excited.
Yeah, there is no scenario when you're going to get all of Marvel's cinematic characters on one screen fighting Thanos and not be like, dear God, this is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they could just write nothing but like 2 hours of fart jokes and I'd still enjoy it because I'm still watching the Avengers make fart jokes. So
they go up to Thanos, play rock, paper, scissors, whoever wins gets Earth, and that's it, and I'd still watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, I mean, save on some of that CG, roll it over into Phase 4.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Oh, gosh.
So Infinity War, we've got writers, we've got directors, and it sounds awesome.
Yeah. Oh, all right, man. That's a good way to start off.
That's a great start.
Yeah. Whew.
Okay. Good. So next up, Marvel. We're gonna keep going Marvel on this one. AKA Jessica Jones is filming.
Yes.
Okay.
That is true.
We are under two weeks away from Daredevil. Just to give you a heads up on that countdown, because I'm ready for that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, they. I actually just before we got on here, I saw that they tweeted out this like little trailer. I guess it might be considered maybe like a TV spot, even though it's for Netflix. You know, we just got a little bit more glimpse of what's coming up in Daredevil. So yeah, this is getting me super excited for this Defender series.
Yeah. So Jessica Jones, some new images are revealed. We have the link on our show notes. Something really awesome. I mean, I don't want to make a big deal of this because it's not a big deal. But they have Marvel's first openly gay couple on aka Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, they don't – I mean, it's not Jessica Jones. You know, she's not taking a female lover. But it looks like we're going to have some kind of side characters that are involved with each other. And I think that's cool. I mean, I don't know if you guys out there or if you have seen the movie Paranorman.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, at the
try
end
to think
of it,
about it.
It was like one of those stop motion ones.
Yeah.
That came out a couple of years ago. It was pretty good, and they tacked on this this little bit at the end that kind of had a same sex couple type of connection at the end of that movie, which was kind of cool because it was kind of a children's movie. So I kind of like when they bring this stuff in here because I mean. I think we all like to think that society isn't influenced by Hollywood, that we all kind of evolve as a society without pop culture around us, but we can't lie, it totally does. So I think it's good to bring this progressive stuff into our TV shows and stuff, just so kids that are growing up and watching it can just like, this stuff is normal, this stuff is okay. So I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah, and something, you know, like, I mean, I don't think they're intentionally doing it. I think it will serve the story. But they have Carrie Ann Moss being one of those characters, and, you know, sci-fi fans will know her from The Matrix. That's about all I know her from, honestly.
Yeah.
To be a jerk about it, I guess. But that's just – I think it's a bold step for Marvel. They don't have anything like that on – do they have anything like that in the DC TV shows? I don't think Arrow or –
I mean,
La Flash do.
They have a little bit of it in Arrow. I don't want to spoil anything particular in case no one's caught up, but they have a little bit of a same sex relationship. I mean, it doesn't stay very long, but I mean, they don't harp on romantic relationships too much in that show anyway.
Okay.
But I think it's cool that, you know, this stuff is just becoming more normal, you know, just in society.
Yeah, one day we won't have to report it. It'll just be
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, as for the other images, I mean, it seems pretty standard, like, set images, kind of the stuff we were getting out of Daredevil back in filming. You know, Jessica's got a little bit of a scrape on her cheek or something like that. So, you know, besides that, not much we can take out of the news from those shots.
Yeah, not yet. I think they're just doing all the basic street-level stuff right now.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to one little bit, fun bit of Marvel news. I think this is worth covering. Vin Diesel, you know, he's got Fast 7 coming out this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Furious 7. I don't know which adjective they're using.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. The seventh movie about cars going real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps name-dropping Black Bolt in all these interviews he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's I've known he wants to be Black Bolt, but we have him as Groot, right? Which mm-hmm. is just his voice. Which would be ironic, because if he's Black Bolt, he's not going to talk.
Yeah. So, wait. So, he wasn't... I'm thinking of The Rock, right? For Shazam, right?
Yes. Black Adam.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, I get these guys confused in my head a lot if I don't actually, like, see their faces. Sometimes they're kind of interchangeable, and they're literally in the same exact movie, Furious 7 or whatever, coming out soon. So I get them confused, and I think I'm not the only one that does. But, you're a big Black Bolt fan. I mean, that's for sure. Do you think he could pull it off? Does he have the physique? Does he have the look?
I tell you what, I have three posters right in front of me right now. All three of them have Black Bolt on them,
mm-hmm.
if that tells you anything. And honestly, on one of them, yes. On another one, no.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know. Like, I think he needs to be a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I'm thinking back to, you know, Chronicles of Riddick. He could overdo it, mm-hmm. with his body language. And I would rather go with someone unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, not unknown, but maybe not Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of it's going to be a weird kind of casting conundrum if you think about it, because, I mean, it is a character that is going to say very little. I mean, he'll probably be shouting a few times, so he is not going to say a lot. So you kind of, when you cast him, you're kind of specifically thinking about the look or the body language, not so much, you know. I mean, you could say acting goes into more than just what they're saying, but this is kind of a different scenario. So, I mean, could he fill out a suit? I think he could. I mean, he's a ripped dude.
Yeah, I think you have to exude a certain presence with that character, because, mm-hmm. you know, he mentally communicates with his wife, mm-hmm. Medusa, and I just don't know if he has that presence.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with no and hope they listen and find something in somebody awesome. But I trust Marvel.
Yeah, but you know what? You talking about Black Bolt so much does get me excited. Before, like, I never really knew much about Black Bolt, and I still haven't read much Black Bolt at all. So I'm kind of excited to see what Marvel does with him, because, I mean, if you like him, he's got to be a cool guy.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's two series you should read if you want to get interested in humans. And this is for everybody. Mm. The Inhumans series is a 12-issue series by Paul Jenkins and Jay Lee.
Mm-hmm.
They also created The Sentry, Volume 1, so mm-hmm. like, I'm a little partial to him, and I didn't realize this connection until later.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jonathan Hickman's New Avengers
mm-hmm.
and Infinity, like all his run from 2002 to current. Black Bolt's part of the Marvel Illuminati and does fantastic in it as well.
Oh, cool.
Seeing him go toe-to-toe with Thanos in that book, something you don't want to miss out on.
Yeah, I think I've seen actually some screenshots from that make it on some of the comic book websites that I follow, and those panels look intense for sure.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Yeah, so you guys can thank us once they start dropping a Black Bolt casting, and you know who Black Bolt is, and none of your friends do. You'll feel super awesome.
I take it back. I also have another one of those Marvel Masterpieces trading cards of Black Bolt in front of me as well.
Just had to clarify.
I'm a fan beyond fans of Black Bolt, and I hope to get people excited. So I'm great to hear that. So
yeah, well, I think we're all excited too.
Speaking of people who get excited, Deadpool.
Man,
I'm not a huge Deadpool fan before we jump into this,
but
this is awesome.
Yeah, I think this is honestly the biggest chunk of news from last week. So we got quite a bit of information to talk about here. So let's get going, lay it out.
So first off, the official costume for the Deadpool movie with Ryan Reynolds in it has been revealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't exactly remember how I saw this first, but I saw it out of context. Either someone just sent me the image.
It was me, and you asked me if it was a cosplay.
Yeah, that's what it was, because, like, the image came in, and it looked so identical to what you would see in the comic book. I almost thought it could have been a screen grab from the Deadpool video game that came out like 2 years ago.
Because
most of the time when they adapt these characters for the screen, they tweak things enough so where you can differentiate them. But man, this costume is spot on Deadpool, 100%.
Yeah, and before we get into some context, you know, this was released by Ryan Reynolds on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And the tweet says, "With great power comes great irresponsibility." There is a humor already in this movie. Uh-huh. Like, Ryan Reynolds will live and breathe this character better than I think he ever did Green Lantern.
Uh-huh.
But like, it has Deadpool, you know, like, paint me like one of your French girls on a uh-huh. bearskin rug in front of a fireplace.
Yeah, and I believe this harkens to some sort of a photography session with Burt Reynolds at some point in history.
Yeah, he was definitely naked on a bear rug, and I'm glad I didn't go that route.
But yeah, man, this costume is just like spot on. It's kind of one of those things where it looks so perfect, like, what do you even say about it? Because, you know, usually if they take some liberties and change the costume, you could be like, oh, you know, well, I like this unique thing that they added to it, or like, oh, I don't like this thing they added to it, it looks different. I mean, this is just spot on. It's like, you almost can't even say anything about it.
It's very true. The only thing I can say is, since this is live action, and this is Ryan Reynolds in the suit, they went with the white eyes that mm-hmm. are emotive. And I think that's going to be handled like post-production CG.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm kind of curious about for sure.
And I'm glad they're kind of doing that, because you have to have the emotive eyes with Deadpool, and they have to be pure white. And they nailed it. Like, honestly, you couldn't find a more identical like thing if you tried.
Yeah, and I think that actually could be one thing that might concern me. So the white eyes, you know, that's not a big deal. That doesn't bother me. But I'm kind of curious how it's going to break the realism if you see the mask, you know, moving. You know, when a normal human being puts on a mask, any kind of, like, thinness, even if it's, like, the thinness of, like, just, like, spandex or something, you're not going to get too much emotion with the eyebrows.
I'm going to stop you right there. I think – expecting realism from Deadpool's a little out of the
well yeah, but I mean, it's just kind of like, is his face gonna do something like Uncanny Valley? Is it gonna, you know, is it gonna look too cartoonish? You know, who knows? Maybe in the whole context of the movie, when you bring everything in, it's gonna make sense. You know, when we were watching that test footage from last year, I believe the eyes were emotive, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, in that context, it seemed totally right, because it was all CG rendered and stuff, and it made sense. So, you know, I am a little concerned how this might translate to real life characters, but I mean, I think I'm gonna be laughing hysterically and like being just super excited seeing Deadpool do this crazy shit in this movie. So I'm not too worried either way. But that's one thing I'll be definitely looking for as soon as we get like a trailer or some sort of footage.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see how they film it live as well. If they get some leak behind some scene footage or like pictures, because I would like to see this one. Like, it's probably gonna be a lot of green screen, but I still think I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I think it's gonna be great. I think the biggest thing still up in the air now is still the rating for this movie.
Yeah, the rating. Like, even Ryan Reynolds said, you know, it could be R or it could be PG-13 still.
Uh-huh.
I know the script, I think, is rated R. But you know how they can edit, you know, that down to a 13 as they go.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the fact that we're still getting any movie is good. I would still go with R and hold. We saw how well Kingsman did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kingsman was great. It was fantastic. I mean, I still keep hearing on the box office reports that it's still in the, like, the top 10, maybe even, like, the top 5. And it's been weeks since that movie came out. And it's coming out in this zone where typically rated R movies come out. So I think we should get a rated R Deadpool movie. I mean, you can tone him down, make him PG-13 when he comes into a future X-Men movie or something like that, or like an X-Force movie or something. But just give us our rated R Deadpool movie. People are going to throw money at it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, if you can nail the costume that well and have the star power of Ryan Reynolds behind it, you're gonna get money.
Yeah,
you're gonna do all right.
I mean, come on. Hearing like Deadpool swear, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So, a lot of Deadpool. Also, if you want to check out the logo and the film, text.
Yeah.
Like the font, go check out our film notes, or I guess not film notes, whatever. Show notes.
Yeah.
they pretty much match up with the stuff from the current comics, so you're not missing a whole lot.
Yeah, you know, maybe one day we will get the superhero slate movie.
Oh my gosh. Superhero Slate, the movie.
Yeah.
The musical.
Yeah. A redemption story of two comic book nerds trying to make it to a comic book convention across the country. It'll be, I'm thinking like a road trip movie is what it would end up being.
I mean, honestly, I watched Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back like 2 days ago, and I figure it'll probably be a lot like that.
Yeah. We can pick up some sort of wild animal along the way, and it'll all be good. You know, we'll work on it. You know, hey, these Indiegogo campaigns are working out really well right now, so maybe we can jump on that bandwagon.
Oh, man.
I mean,
don't get my hopes up. Don't get my hopes up.
It sounds like you can get just about anything funded over there now.
It's true. I actually funded an album from one of my favorite bands, and I just got the album 2 days ago as well.
Oh, cool.
Off Indiegogo, so that worked out great.
Yeah, I guess as an aside here real quick, I'm pretty excited for that Con Man TV
series. Oh, yeah, do a little plug for that.
Oh, yeah, it's, just basically, the cast members, it's almost like half of the cast members from Firefly are kind of coming back together to make a web series that's very meta. It's about actors who used to be in a science fiction TV series that was canceled, and so now it's about them as actors going to these conventions. It's kind of hard. I've tried to describe this to like a couple people already, and it's really hard to describe because you're like, oh, you remember this guy from this sci-fi movie? Well, now he's making a web series where he was a guy in a sci-fi movie, kind of like that sci-fi movie, and it's kind of about him going to conventions, and it's a reflection of how he went to convention in the real life, and it's really hard to describe to people.
It sounds like I would call it conception, but then I don't think that word really works very well.
You're going to make a great dad with those dad jokes someday.
Hey,
just Google Con Man Indiegogo, you'll find it, and I won't have to describe it.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's fully funded now, so
yeah. Well, even better.
Yeah,
speaking of things that are fully funded, no, X-Men Apocalypse is happening next year as well.
Yes,
you know, kind of going back to the Deadpool thing, a couple people are returning, a couple new people are showing up. Rumor is Hugh Jackman would show up.
As usual,
he has to, even if it's for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think we pretty much assumed he was going to be coming back, so.
Yeah, honestly, his part in First Class is all you need. The go fuck yourself line. I like to tell people that was originally written for Stan Lee, but he was busy, so they went and got Hugh Jackman to fill in for him. And another big thing, they say Halle Berry might return.
Oh, wow. That's kind of a sore note for most people I hear out there.
What's really weird is they've already cast a young Storm. Why would they need future Storm if that's changed?
Man, I just think that there's going to be just this really – I mean, Bryan Singer's got this really weird thing that he's got to work out with this next movie. It's just trying to figure out how to blend this new cast with the old cast, which is technically the future cast. He's got to kind of find a way to, like, bring them together and then drop off the ones he doesn't need anymore, I guess. So I'm kind of curious how they're going to handle that, because it sounds like they want an X-Men franchise in the future that has none of these old cast members. Maybe Hugh Jackman, but it sounds like they want to start fresh. They got to work with these different time eras, like the 1980s. You know, they got to find a way to just wiggle this all in. I'm kind of, I don't know how this is going to work out.
Yeah. Hopefully they have something written, some notes that they've been taking that we don't know about to figure this all out. Because next year we also get not only a Deadpool movie, we also get a Gambit movie. But is Channing Tatum going to appear in X-Men Apocalypse as well? I mean, they already got him. They'll probably have him in a suit. Why not just film him for a few minutes and put him in there as well, right? Okay. And also, they cast Jubilee this week.
Yeah, that was kind of exciting because, I mean, I think all of us, or the majority of us, know Jubilee from the X-Men animated series back in the 90s, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, she had the firework fingers.
Yeah, and those wicked shades.
Yeah.
And yellow coats. They cast this girl named Lana Condor. She has no credits that I could ever find on her name. Yeah, I searched all over for it.
Yeah, I checked her up on IMDb. Nothing that I could pull out from her. So, you know, this is kind of one of those situations where you're bringing in an unknown actor, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, definitely. So right now they have the three original X-Men, you know, Cyclops, Jean Grey, and Storm recast. They have Nightcrawler recast and Jubilee. So and possibly Angel. So they got a lot to work from going forward, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this will be kind of cool. Like I've said before, I'm a big fan of seeing how they translate characters to the big screen. So this girl's definitely going to get some sort of like wardrobe update, or maybe not, since this is in the 80s. Maybe that yellow jacket and shades maybe have to downgrade it a decade to fit into the 80s. So maybe she will almost look identical. Who knows?
I definitely wonder how fireworks powers are going to work into the scheme of things.
Yeah, I kind of like her powers went along the lines of messing like up technology. Like I feel like in the cartoon show I saw her like touching computers and blowing them up. So maybe they'll try to focus on that more than just like shooting fireworks out, because that's kind of lame.
Yeah, it would be. Unless, you know, it's the 4th of July and then she's definitely the girl you want to have at your party.
Yeah, that's true. You could save a lot on firework costs.
Yeah. So, yep, that's it. That's it for Apocalypse. Now, I want to kind of talk about – we talked about Hugh Jackman being the Wolverine. Like, we want to see him as a Wolverine forever. Because mm-hmm. he is Wolverine. Honestly, he didn't start off being that much – that Wolverine-y.
Mm-hmm.
But now he is definitely the definition of the Wolverine.
Yeah.
And he tweeted or put a photo on Instagram with his hand and some black claws.
Yes.
That said, Wolverine, ... one last time.
Yeah. So, and this is like – I mean, you can take so many different things away from this. You know, when I first heard it, you know, I was kind of confused because one last time sounds like he's going to play Wolverine one last time and then he's done. But that totally contradicts the stuff he was saying a couple weeks ago where he said he would like to play Wolverine literally as long as he possibly could. So I don't really know how this is going to work. What do you think?
Well, after this, James Mangold, the director of The Wolverine, the last one, and the next Wolverine movie, went ahead mm-hmm. and retweeted and confirmed it's Wolverine ... one last time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're confirming that this is Wolverine 3, not for X-Men Apocalypse. So,
okay.
Just to verify it. However, it sounds like one last time could be like a story arc. Like, you know, Old Man Logan, or like the story that the Wolverine 3 movie is going to take, rather than actually like he's going to be the Wolverine one last time is what I read it as.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a weird thing if you think about it, because we haven't really quite figured out exactly how they're fitting in that Wolverine's trip to Japan into the X-Men timeline. You know, they tried to pin it in with that after the credit scene of it. You know, I'm not really too sure how that was going to mesh in there. So is this third standalone Wolverine movie going to be connected to Apocalypse? Is it going to be like its own little timeline? Like, are we back to the futuring it here? Are we having like different branches of time? Who knows?
God, and I hope not.
And I think the black claws are kind of cool. I mean, who knows? Maybe those are just props that haven't been like plated yet in silver. But I mean, we still kind of gotta figure out, you know, how he gets his claws back, because he had bone claws. He had the bone claws in Days of Future Past, right?
Right. Well, he was picked out of the water by Mystique. Sorry for anyone who hasn't seen the spoilers. And we don't know. He hasn't gone through Weapon X yet at this point. And Mystique was disguised as Colonel Stryker, who put him through Weapon X.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was with Professor X, you know, in the future, it didn't show his claws. So we have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of weird. I think if this was a franchise, I think if Days of Future Past didn't have so much success and I didn't enjoy it so much, I'd be a little bit more worried. But, you know, it's kind of weird. I'm actually kind of okay with this chaotic X-Men universe that's going on right now. Just because, like, I had such a fun time with the last movie, and I had pretty low expectations going into it, you know. It's just kind of fun seeing the X-Men. It's fun seeing them come on screen.
You just said that. We recorded that. And okay. I'm gonna put that now as like whatever you text me, we're gonna hear that. But I know what you're saying. Like, the last Wolverine movie was actually really, really awesome. I love the Wolverine. And I think they're taking the character in directions he needs to go. Mm-hmm. Like smaller character pieces by himself. And I wanna see if it's Wolverine one last time. It sounds a lot like, you know, Days of Future Past, the other one. Old Man Logan, if you've read that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, Old Man Logan on the screen would be awesome.
Yeah, they can't really do it, you know, verbatim, because, you know, Marvel/Fox rights, but some sort of adaptation of that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, everyone will agree that Hugh Jackman is in great physical shape right now, and he's jacked. But, I mean, like, how exactly can he pull the Wolverine off in, like, 10, 15 years? I mean, it's kind of silly to think that we're still not going to be getting these superhero movies in 10 to 15 years, because just 10 to 15 years ago in the past from now, we were getting them. So, I guess we'll just kind of have to see how this unfolds for sure.
Yeah. We'll keep you posted as the Wolverine slices back into our lives.
Oh, shink, shink.
Shink, shink. So, anyway, enough about X-Men. We've talked about enough. Let's talk about another team of superheroes, mm-hmm. The Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
There's a new poster that came out this week. It looks a lot like the old poster.
Yeah, the new poster kind of looks identical to, like, a screenshot of the first trailer that we got. So, not much to say about the poster, but we got a little bit of a sneak peek of one of the characters.
Right. So, well, the first poster shows the Human Torch and Invisible Woman, like, their powers subtly going on. So that's great. We know that they go invisible and turn on fire. That is old news. However, a new poster shows the Thing up close on his face. We haven't seen the Thing's face the whole time until this new poster. And going from Jamie Bell, who's like a scrawny little guy, right, to the Thing, I like it. I like the look of the Thing, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, he looks very geody. He's very rough. He's very rugged. Obviously, this little photo that we got of him full frontal is looks like it's a marketing poster in like a different country. I don't know if you picked up what country it was. Did you?
No, I did not.
Okay, yeah, but it's just some dude standing in front of the poster. You know, so we don't exactly know the colors quite yet. I'm kind of curious how orange they're going to make him. Are they going to try to make it a little bit more of a realistic clay color? Are we actually going to get, like, orange Thing? That'll be kind of interesting. But, yeah, he looks rough and tumble. So I think that's what we're all excited about, to see how he looks. So usually when we get a poster, a trailer is coming soon. So I would assume we're going to be getting another Fantastic Four trailer soon.
That would be probably ideal for them, since it's an August release and they've had hardly any marketing until recently. I'm going to guess Avengers is going to drown out anything for the next month. And then as soon as Avengers is over, we're going to see Ant-Man trailers. We're going to see Fantastic Four trailers. We might even see a Batman Superman trailer. If we're lucky, because that's less than a year away now.
Yeah, that's true.
So what I like about this Thing is, if we go back to the Fantastic Four where it's got the guy from the Shield being the Thing, he's orange, it looks rubbery. This guy looks like he's a tank and could take some damage.
Yeah, he looks like you could get kind of scratched.
Yeah. If he was a Pokemon, I would try to capture him.
Try to evolve him.
Yeah, I would try to. So,
well, I guarantee he could probably learn Rock Throw.
Oh my gosh! But can he learn like Boulder Smash?
As long as he can learn Strength, he can push those boulders out of the way, so I can get out of this goddamn cave. We'll be okay.
Yeah. Fuck those Geo dudes and two bats, man. But I'm okay with it. I want to see more. I think the next one's probably gonna give us the action we want. And let's cross our fingers for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of faces, we got another new face picture this week. I actually expected this to be bigger than it was, but Deadpool kind of stole the light from it.
Yeah, that's true.
Lex Luthor, the first image of Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor dropped online this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should note that this is a big deal. I think, like you said, it's true. The Deadpool kind of took some of the steam away from it. But, I mean, this is our, third official photo from Batman Superman?
I'm going to go fourth. We have the big three. And then this one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And I think we've had, like, slight variations of that Batmobile photo. But still, like, this is our first villain that we're getting. I mean, this Batman-Superman movie is getting more and more close. It's getting more and more real. Jesse Eisenberg, you look kind of weird without hair, man.
I can't tell if it's, like, a bald cap or if it's his head shaved. Like, really. Because it looks like, you know, you see the bumps where his hair is. But he's kind of got, like, the egg-shaped head kind of going on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how good your makeup staff is and how advanced bald cap technology is. If you're going to be in a Batman Superman movie and they want you to be in it, you shave your head. Your hair will grow back, man.
Yeah, and It looks like a mugshot.
Yeah, and I think that kind of makes sense with the type of character he's going to be. I mean, I think I'm just going to kind of have to get used to this transition of Lex being like a Wall Street villain, just in a high-rise tower, just like, you know, pulling the strings, kind of pseudo Kingpin-esque, less organized crime, more like Wall Street crime a little bit with his big corporation. And I'm kind of curious how he's going to work when he's a little bit younger. I guess he could still be the lead of a corporation, but, you know, I'm just curious how serious we're going to be able to take him.
Yeah, this picture, he looks pretty, like, hard-ass, like, stone-cold kind of dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see the blood vessels in his eyes on it, if you look mm-hmm. at it. And he's got, like, maybe a crazed look under his eyebrow. I don't know. Something's off about this picture, and it's just unsettling. And I think that's maybe what they were going for, because they nailed it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to deal with Lex Luthor. Like, I'm done with him. And he is, you know, the big villain of the film, so they need to get him right.
Yeah, like I'm not worried about Jesse Eisenberg's ability to perform. He's a great performer, a great actor. I'm just worried about, you know, how this translates. I mean, this is definitely – they've been taking liberties with this DC franchise, you know, bringing in these unique angles on these characters, some of them not so unique, some of them different. It'll be interesting to see how it all combines together. But, I mean – I guess I don't want to say I was burned by the Superman movie, but I was super excited for the Superman movie. I was waiting to see DC and Warner Brothers come back to the slate with some really powerful hitters. And, you know, I just left the theater just, you know, a little disappointed. I just wanted more. So I just hope that this cast that they're bringing together in Batman Superman is just going to just drive it home. For sure, because we're going to need it.
Yeah, hopefully their long game isn't shooting them in the foot. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, Marvel's still kind of like they're playing for the long game, but they do the individual movies. And I feel like they might be shooting for the long term without focusing on the individual, and that might be where they lose it.
Yeah, so. And I mean, it might seem that we're being hard, but I think we're basically just going to be hard until, you know, they've proven themselves. I mean, yes, Superman was a good summer blockbuster movie. You know, we got action, we got fighting, you know, we had aliens and spaceships and stuff, and we had explosions and things blowing up. But overall, it kind of left some to be desired when it came to the Superman story and the Superman universe. So they just need, as soon as they prove themselves, let's say this Batman Superman movie is just awesome, you know, I'll be much more upbeat about the stuff in the future. But right now they just need to get me excited again.
Right. And with one film under their belt, we're not being harsh. Like, they have one film under their belt for their cinematic universe.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and by announcing the entire cinematic universe afterwards, they're already building themselves up, so like what are we expecting here? So
yeah, I mean, we would be the same way if the first Iron Man movie wasn't good. The first Iron Man movie was just like, eh, and they're just like, hey, we're building this whole Marvel universe, get ready for all these other movies. We'd be like, well, geez, Iron Man, you know, wasn't that great, but Iron Man was great, so we were very excited for more stuff.
Thank God it was.
Yeah.
So if you want to see Lex Luthor, you can check out our show notes, images there. We got a lot of links in our notes today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many links. Something we don't really have a link for is something we might be really happy about, but a lot of people may be depressed about.
Mm-hmm.
Legend of Zelda series we talked about a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It denied.
Yes. It's pretty straightforward, saying that we have no plans in the future. And I believe this was from Nintendo, not from Zelda, right?
Right.
From the creators.
Yeah, it was Nintendo who owns the Zelda licensing.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they said, no, we don't have any plans. That may also be a way of saying, yeah, we're doing it, but we don't want to tell anybody yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally true.
And I think a lot of these new stuff, like, you know, digital first, like Netflix and Hulu original things that are mm-hmm. adaptations, like Powers, a lot of these probably hinge on the success of Marvel's Daredevil.
Yeah.
Because Marvel's, like, you know, they're leading the way in film. They're leading the way on probably this Netflix stuff. A lot of what they do is gonna definitely, I don't know, like build into something bigger. I think The Flash appeared because, you know, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is tying in with the larger universe, mm-hmm. and The Flash and Arrow want to interact and create their own, like, TV universe. I don't know. I think if Marvel's Daredevil works, we're gonna see a lot of properties be adapted on Netflix and Hulu and whatever other online mediums we have.
Yeah, and you know, who knows? Maybe Nintendo had never even thought about, well, I'm sure they've thought about it, but maybe it wasn't even on their priority to start turning anything into a series. But then somehow this crazy rumor got out there, saw the internet explode, and just like, wow, a lot of people out there really like the idea of a Zelda series. You know, maybe we could start considering it. I mean, so now they have options. They can say, oh, we've been planning it the whole time, and we just didn't want to reveal it yet. Or maybe they actually have, and they're just kind of trying to hide it. I think it would be a weird jump just because the Link, the character himself, doesn't even speak in the video game. So how, you know, do you bring that character to life when usually the player is kind of embodying the character? You know, I don't really know. So I mean, I'm not a big Zelda fanboy, so I don't really care too much that it's been denied. But I do totally agree with you that it does kind of hinge on the success of these series going forward.
Yeah, and we'll definitely see what else gets created from that, because I think it's a very interesting medium to hinge on. And I've been watching Powers, and I've been caught up with it, and it's actually, you know, still good.
Oh, good.
Surprisingly, you'll expect the first episode to like get you excited, right? And we liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping that, you know, 2 and 3 didn't have diminishing returns. No, mm-hmm. I'm at 5, and I'm like, I don't want this thing to end. So it is awesome. I just want to hype that up.
I plan on watching it binge style and just saving them all up and watching them all at once. So I'm super, super excited to get back into Powers. And also, a little bit before we move on, in a little bit of video game news, they pushed back the next Zelda video game. Originally they said 2015, now it's looking like 2016. So, I mean, if they can't even get this video game going at the right time, I mean, who knows how they could even manage a TV series. So I think it's fine that it's denied. You know, maybe it'll come back up in the future. But I'm not worried.
Yeah, definitely not.
We got Powers in the meantime.
We got Powers. You know what else we got?
What?
X-Files!
What?
Yeah, that show that's been off the air for years and had like two movies. It has a 6-part revival at Fox.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of interesting. This was a show that, it's kind of hard to admit, but I think when it was airing, I might have been a little too scared to watch it. I think I've had a little too many nightmares of aliens visiting me through my window, and I think the idea of watching it on TV was terrifying. So I kind of stayed away from X-Files when I was growing up, but it's on Netflix now, so now that they announced this, I think I'm gonna jump headfirst in.
Yeah, this is something, a new trend I've kind of seen take over, like taking older like series from the 80s, 90s, mm-hmm. and mostly 90s, and revamping them in like smaller, like multi, like kind of, you know, series formats, like mm-hmm. parts. We can look at 12 Monkeys and Fargo as an example.
Mm-hmm.
12 Monkeys has a TV series right now, like a shorter, like multi-part series.
Mm-hmm.
And so did Fargo. Fargo's even got a season 2 coming out.
Yeah.
And, you know, X-Files, like, taking these things, giving a 6-part revival, it's, you know, 6-part, smaller budget, continue the stories of Scully and Mulder, so they're returning, as well as original actors.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely something I think we're going to see a lot more of with other stuff. Twin Peaks is supposedly coming back as well.
Yeah, I've heard that's a pretty big cult classic.
Yeah, I haven't watched it myself. It's on my to-watch list because Kyle MacLachlan is in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Skye's father,
mm-hmm.
and I would love to see what he was like back 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really say much about the X-Files. Like I just said, I didn't really watch it, but I mean, I've loved what David Duchovny's been doing. I loved him in Californication, so I'm totally okay with seeing him back on my TV screen, and I think speaking to the six-part, I think that's great for a story arc. You know, you can get the meat of the story and you don't have to worry about, you know, fillers or too much, or you don't have to worry about not having enough time. You know, it's two episodes shorter than what Agent Carter was, and I thought Agent Carter filled out those 8 episodes pretty well, so I'm not too worried about 6 not being enough or being too short. So I gotta binge watch before this stuff comes out. Did they say if it was 2015 or 2016?
I'm gonna make 2016 for this because it'll mm-hmm. probably be at, like, you know, half a year production and post production.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna go with 2016, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
What I do know is, you know, I think if this works for X-Files, again, like I said, we may be seeing series that have long been gone coming back for smaller, like, part revivals, mm-hmm. and adding to our collections years and years after our collections have already been full.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to see is, like, a Seinfeld revival.
Oh, that would be interesting.
I say this because they did a partial, like, revival on the episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Uh-huh.
Season was built up getting the crew back together to get a show, like a mm-hmm. small episode. So they actually aired this episode. And I get to see Jerry Seinfeld on stage on Thursday do a stand-up. So I'm pretty excited about that. So that's kind of on my mind.
Right yeah, now. And they did a little bit of a revival in that Super Bowl commercial last year where they went back to the coffee shop, Jerry and George.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if Seinfeld will ever make its return. I feel like Isaac Pop possibly could. It's going to be remembered as the best sitcom of all time. So whether it comes back is you know, who knows.
Yeah, that's definitely personal preference yeah. right there.
But time will tell, who knows. As time goes on, things get less precious and people don't really care rebooting stuff.
That's true. This may work in favor of Firefly. A lot of people clamor for Firefly.
Ooh, yeah.
Online revivals have happened for, what, Community and Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big thing right now. And, you know, I haven't seen the X-Files either. So maybe this could get me to watch it.
Yeah, but I'm excited to watch it.
Yes. Please let us know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your excitement kind of hinges on some other things. Our first episode, mm-hmm. we did a My Favorite Movie list, which is five very predictable movies, and your least favorite movies of the year.
Yes, least anticipated, I believe, is what we...
Yeah, so my first one was actually Kingsman, which came mm-hmm. out, and we both loved it.
Yeah, you killed it. You nailed that prediction, brah.
Yeah, and then your first one came out. What was your first one again?
Oh, God, what was that? Jupiter Ascending. Oh, yeah, I got that right. Yeah. I got that right.
Boom. So right now, your next prediction actually is in theaters, which was?
Get Hard.
Yes, the Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart movie.
Yeah, I mean, I knew from the second I saw the first trailer that this was gonna be bad. And I see you just updated the rating, the Rotten Tomato rating. It is at a 31%.
Yes, it is.
You gotta give leeway to comedies on Rotten Tomato. Usually if you get around a 60%, like a low 60, it's usually watchable and halfway decent, because they're a lot harder on comedy movies when it comes to those ratings. But I mean, a 31%,
that's half below what we would consider okay.
Yeah, and I mean, I usually try not to hinder so much of my watchability on reviews of other people, but it's kind of hard to disagree with 31%. And if I'm already not excited from the trailer, I mean, I think it's safe to say I got that prediction right.
Yeah, I'm not a Kevin Hart fan. I think he's like loud and like talks fast.
Uh-huh.
and Will Ferrell is okay when he's not trying to be like obnoxious and like hot of himself. What's that basketball movie he did?
Oh gosh, what was that called?
Exactly how forgettable that is. either way, I imagine this a lot like that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you were wrong. Or I'm glad you were right and it was bad.
Yeah, but also remember these predictions have nothing to do with how much money it made. I have a feeling that it probably made money, so who knows if we'll see a sequel of it. There's billboards down the street from me for Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Oh my gosh, I love that. No, I'm kidding.
And I was talking to my wife and I was like, you know, when I look at that Paul Blart billboard, it makes me think that this is the type of movie that is invented by people when they need to talk about a fake movie inside of another movie. So I feel like Paul Blart would be a movie that they would reference in like a romantic comedy or something.
Yeah, we had a really bad date watching Paul Blart too.
And then the characters like break up or something, or they get pregnant, and then the story progresses. But let's hope maybe it doesn't get too much money, so we don't have to get a Get Hard 2, Get Harder.
Oh my gosh, don't even.
That, you know, that would be the title too.
It would be. Gosh.
Uh huh.
Man, now I hate life.
Yeah, so speaking of cheesy things, yeah, we got this new Terminator Genesis motion poster, and this motion poster seems to be like a phase, like a phenomenon. More and more motion posters are being created, I think, to kind of fit, you know, mobile devices, you know, things that loop, like Instagram videos and like Snapchats and stuff like that. So we'll probably be seeing more motion posters in the future, but this just kind of looks cheesy. I mean, it doesn't look like it's been produced very well. It looks like some visual effects dude just had a couple spare hours and just threw it together.
How long is that again? We have the link on here. How long is this
thing? It's just a couple seconds.
It starts off okay. It's 15 seconds. It starts off innocent enough, and then at 3 seconds, it all goes to hell.
Yeah. Give us some info on that.
So, like, it starts off, you see Arnold Schwarzenegger returning as the Terminator, which, like, this guy has put some age on since the original 80 ones. Like, it was 85, I think, was the first one.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Then he came back in Terminator 2, great. Then he came back for Terminator 3, and he was looking pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he put on those stupid star sunglasses or whatever, or heart sunglasses in that one, and that movie was just a mess. And now he's back. I think they CG'd him in the Terminator Salvation. Now he's back to this fifth one where it's just like when his skin rips away and it shows the T-800 skeleton, it looks like someone like colored it in with colored pencils.
Yeah. I think basically the biggest criticism is just like the motion poster just looks kind of crappy. It's just some cheap marketing to drum up some more hype that I don't think is very good. And this movie is the next movie on my least anticipated movies of the year. So Terminator Genesis, which is slated for beginning of July 1st, I believe. I'm already not very excited for it. And if my predictions hold true, you know, like I said, I'm not a big fan of harping too much on reviews or percentages or stars or whatever. But if I had to guess a Rotten Tomato rating for this movie, I'm kind of leaning maybe towards like a 55%. I don't think it's gonna.
That is very generous of you.
Yeah,
that is a very generous rating of you from you. I would probably gonna guess probably closer. If I could get the over under, I would probably go under 55. Mostly, you know, that's just, I feel like it has the potential, but they're dealing with multiple time streams, kind of like Days of Future Past did, but not with care.
Yeah, but this will be one of the movies that will make money, though. I don't think it's going to have a problem making money. You know, I'll probably catch it. This is like a Redbox movie for me, or like an eventual Netflix movie for me. So we all know I'm not excited for it. So I'm pretty harsh when I get cheesy motion posters.
Yeah. So we'll watch for that. See what my train is. My next one's actually Age of Ultron on my hype list.
Yeah, I think we can agree that's gonna be point.
It is good, and I want to add a little bit about that. I found out the runtime is actually 142 minutes, according to Joss Whedon, give or take a couple.
Is that an increase or decrease from the last time we reported on it?
I don't remember, honestly. I don't deal well when they deal like 142 minutes compared to like 2 hours and 21 minutes kind of deal. But I think it's definitely changed. I think it's lower than we expected.
Uh-huh. Well, I think either way.
Oh, no, I was 140 what I reported on last time. And this one's supposed to be 142, which is like 1 minute shy of the original Avengers.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, don't bring your giant big gulps in the movie theater. I'm going to give everyone a little bit of advice. The perfect amount of liquid to ingest during a movie is like 12 ounce. Like go to a gas station somewhere or like buy a 12 pack at the grocery store. Just bring in one can of soda. That is going to be enough to get you through the movie, and you're not going to be running out halfway through it, because I will torture myself not having to pee so I don't have to leave in the middle of Age of Ultron. That's for sure.
Yeah, you don't want to miss any of that, or man, else you'll be confused.
I don't know how we segue into drink tips from this motion poster, but
Don't worry about it. And segue into is the next Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Yes.
The sequel has a subtitle now called Half Shell.
Oh.
And my note here says more like half ass.
Oh, zing.
But I haven't seen the first one. To be frank, you have recently?
Yeah, I actually just watched it for the first time last weekend, and you know, it was always gonna a movie in the back of my head where I was like, oh, I'll just catch this months later or something, a Redbox movie or something like that. So you know, yeah, I picked this up and I watched it. You know, I went in with low expectations, and guess what? This movie is better than any of the Spider-Man movies that we got in the past couple years. It's better than Amazing Spider-Man 1. It's better than Amazing Spider-Man 2. And the only reason I'm comparing them to each other is Amazing Spider-Man 2 and TMNT, they shared a summer release, I believe. Not the same weekend, but they were pretty close to each other, if I believe I'm correct.
Okay, I guess to me that comparison isn't much because I don't like either of those movies. Give it, like, if you could give it on a 1 to 5, how many stars would you give out of it? I don't need to know why, but, like, what would you give it?
I would give it a solid 3 for sure. This movie is pretty weak when it comes to the story of April O'Neil, and I don't know if that's necessarily the writing or if it's just Megan Fox's performance. So, you know, when she's on the screen, just kind of ignore her. The fun is when you finally get to see the turtles. The voice actors that are portraying these turtles are just hilarious. The lines written for the turtles are just, they're funny, they're quippy. They actually act like teenagers. You know, you could believe that they would be in middle school if they weren't mutated turtles. There's this legitimately funny scenes where you laugh out loud seeing what they're doing. The fight scenes are pretty cool. You know, they animated it very well. I had a good time watching this movie, and I never thought I would say that. I'm actually looking forward to the sequel.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, I mean, I had friends tell me they actually went and saw the movie in the theaters, and they were like, yeah, it was pretty good. And, you know, I didn't know if I could believe them, but, you know, I can believe it now. It was pretty decent. I don't know if it's necessarily worth, like, a $12 movie ticket, but it's close. It's almost worth the ticket price.
Whoa, calm down now.
Yeah, you know, if this comes out on a weekend that doesn't have much going on, you know, maybe I'll go check it out.
You definitely will have to let me know, because I will not. Something else, we got two more things here before we wrap up for the day.
Yeah.
The new James Bond trailer came out this week.
Yes, Spectre.
I liked watching it.
Yeah, it was dark.
I had not seen the James Bond movie until Daniel Craig took over anyway. Mm-hmm. My first one was his first one, like Casino Royale. Mm-hmm. And I went back and tried to watch older Bond movies, and I kind of like the way they're taking the new ones, or more the older ones.
Yeah, the older ones are definitely campy, so you kind of got to be in that mindset.
Yeah, and this one kind of has like a shadow organization kind of feel, a lot like the Mission Impossible 5 trailer did last week that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested. It picks up from Skyfall,
mm-hmm.
and it rolls with some stuff from Skyfall, and... let's keep that train rolling on this. We have the link if you want to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer was literally and figuratively dark. It was hard to see some things, like what's the guy who's playing the villain again? His name is
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz. His face is literally darkened, so you don't get to see it. I imagine they're hiding some sort of scarring of some sort on his face. Just it had this dark tone. There seems to be some sort of, like, secret agency working below MI5. It looks kind of cool. I wasn't, you know, when it came to the last James Bond movie, it got a lot of critical acclaim. People loved Skyfall, and I thought it was good. I didn't think it was as great as what people were clamoring over, but I'm going to be watching James Bond movies every year that they come out. You know, it's kind of hard not to see a James Bond movie.
They're not getting worse.
Yeah, they're always fun.
They're not getting worse. They're like, if we're not getting Jason Bourne movies, we might as well be watching Daniel Craig be James Bond.
Yeah, you know, maybe eventually we'll get into the schedule of, like, we'll just get 1 year, we'll get a Jason Bourne, then we'll get a James Bond, and the next year we'll get a Mission Impossible. We'll always have our spy movie ready.
God, we can only hope so.
Yeah.
So, last bit of news is kind of, it doesn't fit in anywhere else, and this is because Halo 5... released a new trailer today, right before we got on recording this podcast.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you said there's also a part two coming, too, that we are not reporting on.
Yeah, there's a part – we saw part one. Part two hadn't aired yet before we started recording this. So we're going to cover part one this week and part two next week.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer, which is linked below, gives a tale of this other Spartan hunting the Master Chief.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know the story because, you know, it's coming. But there's a part two I think is telling from the Master Chief side that'll be coming out. We'll cover that next week. But mm-hmm. the big thing to walk away is here, Halo 5 is coming out October 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Much earlier than I expected. I thought it was going to be a November release.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of at the... I mean, that's kind of the beginning of fall, tail into summer, depending on how you look at the release of video games. I mean, I'm not huge into the Halo franchise, like I've said, like you are, but, you know, I'm kind of excited. I like the idea of Master Chief having a Spartan slash human adversary. All of his adversaries have been alien in nature. So I like the idea of basically him going toe to toe with basically maybe someone else with the same powers as him, just, you know, just different ideology or something. So I'm kind of excited. That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. This live action trailer looks slick.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful. It encompasses everything Halo from Halo 1. Mm-hmm. And they hint at it in the Master Chief collection during the Halo 2, remake part.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a big Halo guy. I go back years on it. And I'm excited for Halo 5 to come out and continue the Master Chief story. And we'll cover part two next week and maybe see if we know more about it.
Yeah.
So that's it, actually.
Oh man, going out with a little bit of a whimper.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, if people want to bang, Mike, where are they gonna find you?
Oh gosh. Well, if anyone out there wants to follow me, they can follow me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter or on Instagram, drawing little pictures, putting them up on there. You can read my webcomics over at pickledcomics.com, and I try to put that stuff up there regularly when I come up with anything halfway humorous. Give me a follow. Hear me say really bad jokes on Twitter.
That's true. You want bad jokes, you follow Mike. As for me, you can find me at Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N on Twitter. You can also read the stuff I write for Comic UI. Got some big stuff coming up. Convention season opens up in April, so starting next week we're going to be covering a lot of convention stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also Nerd Traffic, where I occasionally write as a pastime.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of stuff going on there. My favorite thing to do right now is live tweet during movies and be really cynical.
Uh-huh.
Last night, Tangled was on, and I just didn't want to care anymore, so I started making fun of Tangled, and that was pretty fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if you can tell towards the end of this podcast, but I'm getting pretty excited to wrap this up because the season finale of The Walking Dead is kind of wrapping up, and I'm jumping on that the second we're done here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is probably the latest we've ever recorded a podcast, so mm-hmm. We will definitely have something for everyone in the morning, and enjoy your Walking Dead, Mike.
Yeah, well, thanks. Bye, everybody.
We'll see you later.
Oh, goodbye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe.